RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The trajectory of the Giants then and now, and we talked about this. I think I talked about it with either CeeLo Friday or Willie on Wednesday last week, and that is, so I go back to the Chargers win,
right?
And you look at what the Chargers are, a really good football team.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh is a fantastic coach, and I was lucky enough to do Giants Chargers for Compass Media Networks back in, I was at the fourth week? It was week four, I think?
Week four, yep.
And the energy in MetLife Stadium when the Giants go down on the first drive and he's got that quarterback draw for 10 yards, I think it was 10 yards, and scores the touchdown. The feeling in MetLife Stadium was, wow, like, what was that? That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Malik Nabers catching passes. Then you had the play where he gets injured. And it was like the air was let out of the balloon.
Yeah.
But Dart continued to play relatively well for what they would let him do in that game, and they won. And defensively, and this was the biggest thing that I took from that game when I walked out of that stadium, it felt like the defense believed.
Yeah,
it was as if we don't have to hold the other team to 3 points to win now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, and I know it sounds crazy because they scored 100 points against the Cowboys the following week, and it was their fault they lost. You could make that case, but
the prior week. Yeah,
but for years and years, you know, they had trouble scoring. They would never it was the kick and field goals. Then they go and win the following week against the Eagles. And at that point,
there was a loss to the Saints in between.
Oh, that's right, where they turned the ball over.
Yeah, they just turned the ball over six times.
Right.
There. So they had that game won, but they turned it over six times.
Charger win, Eagle win. You go into Denver.
Yeah.
And they were kicking the crap out of the Broncos at Mile High.
Yep.
And then the interception.
Yep.
I still cannot believe where we were at halftime, middle of the third quarter in Denver, to where they were and the ascent they looked like they were on to where they went to.
No.
Is fascinating to me.
It is. No, I mean, that moment in time, there's no doubt about it. I want to, because what happened in that fourth quarter from the interception on, because, yeah, they were up 19-0, blew the game in the fourth quarter, and scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter, and still lost the game. Like, that moment in time, and it felt like, you're right, you mentioned the defense. They were imposing their will in that game. They shut out through three quarters, dominating that Denver team. And then that interception, and then the collapse, and something changed in the team. And I don't know what it was. They get blown out by the Eagles the next week, and that was it. And from that moment on, then they have a real disappointing performance against the 49ers the next week, and it just completely fell apart.
Well, but the Bear game was an interesting one because very similar in that they were playing really well against what's become a very good Bears team on the road in Chicago.
True.
He gets hurt, and then the game changed. Again, they had the lead. They lose it. My big question, I think, if I could sit in a room with John Mara, honestly, it would be one question.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot, but if I could only ask him one, it would be, why Dable at that point and not Bowen first?
Yeah.
Because, A, I don't like, if it was me, I don't like firing head coaches middle of the season.
Yeah, me
if either. You're going to fire them, let them play it out and see what it is, especially if you're going to put a guy. Now, my guess would be they would answer with, well, we thought maybe Kafka could be the coach of the future, wanted to give him a real shot. I guess that would be a fair answer.
Well,
but I would have preferred Bowen to go first.
Yeah.
Let Dable finish out the year and work with this quarterback and see what you've got.
Well, I can tell you my thought on that is that they didn't really want to. I don't think they felt like they had a good option to replace Bowen. And I think the concussion for Jackson Dart was the end.
I really
felt like, you know, there was that conversation around it that he was being you know, he was being dangerous with Dart. That he that he was running him recklessly. That it was too many. You know, I drive home and listen to the warm up show. I know Al felt that way. I heard Al go on and on. Oh, Jackson Dart's in the blue 10 again. What a shock! He runs every, you know, he runs twice every three plays.
Sure.
Like, so there was that narrative around the team that he was being reckless with their prized possession, and he was doing it because, and this one always bothered me, he needed to win games to save his job. Like other coaches, it's okay. It's okay if I lose, my job is secure. Like everyone's out there trying to win games. They needed him to be that quarterback to win games. But and Jordan Renan came out with a tweet after the Denver game where reportedly, remember Marash broke the story on the afternoon show, that after the Denver game, they were set to fire him. They were so frustrated with blowing that lead and losing that game that they were set to fire him. Cooler heads prevailed, blah, blah, blah. And Jordan Renan, who covers the team for ESPN, came out with the report that Dable is safe unless Jackson Dart gets hurt. Like, I think they felt like, okay, yes, he's helping him develop, but he is being reckless with him. The kid doesn't know how to protect himself yet, and you have to take that into account. And because Brian Dable thinks he has to win games to keep his job, he's putting our prized possession in harm's way. And that concussion against the Bears sealed his fate. And that moment, too, you're right, because I said it fell apart. He was going in to put the finishing touches on that game. He was going in to stick it in the end zone and go beat the Bears in that game. And that's when he got hurt and he fell apart from that moment on. But
which wasn't a designed run, if I remember correctly. That was a scramble, was it not?
I think it was a designed run. I think the play he got hurt was a designed run, yeah. And it was a little bit of a fluke because the only reason he got hurt is because he fumbled it up in the air.
Yes.
And he didn't protect himself because he tried to catch it and his head hit the ground. But no, I think it was a designed run, if I remember correctly. But it still wasn't reckless. That was the fourth design run of the game.
Right.
Like, that was my outrageous point, too.
He wasn't running 15 times. It was selective.
It was selective.
And most times it worked.
Right. And because he scrambles so much on passes, it seems like, oh, he's running constantly. Well, no. You know, most of them, if not more than half of them, are because nobody else is open because they don't have wide receivers on the team.
Right.
Outside, they're playing little Jordan Humphreys for a lot of the season. So, like, he would scramble a lot. But I think it was a detrimental thing. But, yeah, that there's no question. That game against Denver changed.
Sure did.
They're about to win that game, and they're about to go play the Eagles for an opportunity to tie for the division lead.
I remember.
And I felt watching that Denver game off the Eagles game thinking, this isn't just a team that's turned it around.
No, they look like a good football team.
They look like a team that's going to compete for a playoff spot here. And it all just fell apart. It is a very disappointing season. Because your point at the beginning of the show, really, was that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And part of that is they beat an Eagles team who just won the division, and you just called them a possibility to be the NFC participant in the Super Bowl, right? They had a Denver Broncos team that's going to be the one seed possibly in the AFC, had them beat, had the Bears beat, playoff team, division winner. Like they went in, they beat the Chargers, who's a playoff team. Like you look at their two wins, they're impressive, and they're right there to beat the Lions, who I know were, you know, haven't played the rest of the way, but has been a traditional playoff team the last couple of years.
And on the road.
They're about to beat the Lions on the road. They're about to beat the Broncos on the road. They're about to beat the Bears at home. Like they're about to beat Green Bay, and that's without the quarterback for two of those three games. So like,
should have beat Green Bay,
should have beat the Lions, should have beat the Bears, should have beat Denver, did beat the Eagles and beat the Chargers. Like if they win those games that they should have won, that's an impressive resume, beating all these playoff teams against a very difficult schedule, and they lost all of them.
Mm-hmm. Really,
it's
amazing.
Amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll continue the Jet conversation, but let's get into a little bit of the Giants. And I understand that there are a lot of Giant fans upset by what transpired yesterday out there in Vegas as the Giants did to the Raiders. And we discussed it yesterday morning on the Football Sunday Show. Giants took the field. By far, they were a more talented team. They were a 2.5-point favorite going into the game. We saw what the Raiders' intentions were with, obviously, Brock Bowers being placed on IR, Crosby going out there and attacking on social media and showing him on a trampoline and playing basketball with his kid and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and he's a competitor, and he wants to go out there and play. And the Raiders showed you their intentions. For the Giants here, and we'll get to the Rappaport report here momentarily, but the Giants were never going to lay down like that. They just weren't. That is not, you know, what they believe as an organization. Now you might say, well, it, we've seen a lot of losing. You want to see it play out where the Giants end up with the number one overall pick, where then it's a, you have teams that are interested, whether, you know, say if Mendoza coming out of Indiana, and then you can go out there and get a cavalcade of selections and draft compensation, move down in the draft and help out your organization long term. Everything, you know, I am a believer that sometimes everything does happen for a reason. And the Giants as an organization were never going to go out in Vegas yesterday afternoon and basically lay down. First and foremost, you talk to players. You listen to Carl Banks, other guys, Willie Colon, who you're here tomorrow morning on with Jerry. You can't go out there and play this game half-hearted. Can't go out and play in the NFL as physically violent a sport and barbaric a sport. And I love it. I say that in glowing terms. As physically violent as the sport it is, you can't go out there and give out 60, 70, 80% effort. I had Giant fans call me up yesterday. Well, you know, you got to give Jackson Dart a pep talk and basically tell him that, or don't play him at all. But, you know, give Dart a pep talk. And I know he was saying it sarcastically that we don't need your best today. That's not the way you operate. It's not the way you go about doing it. And I said it, the Giants could find a way to lose yesterday, but they didn't. They gave you a great performance. You know, they picked off Geno Smith on a couple of occasions. That Okereke interception early really kind of changed the course and the context of the game. Dart with a couple touchdown runs. He was efficient. I think he ended up with a 91 quarterback rating throwing the football. The narrative of him and this great regression that we've seen from Jackson Dart after Daboll was let go. I mean, we could end that narrative with his performance yesterday. And the Raiders stink. Now you want to say, well, I mean, he looked a lot better because it wasn't Minnesota and Flores in that defense. For sure. The Raiders are not a good football team. They've been bad. They've been really bad all season long. You know, they've been an embarrassment to the point where you question, you know, the guidance of 74-year-old Pete Carroll as their head coach who was brought in year number one. And people question whether or not he's going to be out the door year number one. And the Raiders are desperate for a quarterback. The Giants aren't. You know, you see the Rappaport report that came out yesterday, and it was two-pronged in terms of, and sometimes you got to, you know, reports are out there for a reason. Things get leaked out for a reason at times. You know, but the Giants going out there as an organization doing their due diligence on Mendoza and leaving all options open. Number one, if they ended up with the number one overall pick, then, you know, that is a little bit of, or a big time smokescreen, because you want to have teams going out there and saying, well, if the Giants are still in play, then maybe it increases the capital, increases the, you know, the offer that I have to make for the number one overall selection. The other aspect of it, the Giants, I'm telling you, have their quarterback. You know, that Dart is, we've all talked about. You know, there's a lot to like when you look at Jackson Dart. You don't compound the problem. As we've gotten into this conversation around the New York Giants, which I've told you, I think is completely and utterly stupid. And I hate that term. I hate when my kids use that term. I don't throw it out there lightly, but I just think it is. Let's use the term. I think it's moronic. To go out there and all of a sudden now compound the problem where I know what I have in a guy like Dart, and I understand the new head coach is not going to be a guy that was part of the process of bringing Jackson Dart into this organization. I don't care. Dart is an attractive, makes the Giant job, outside of the Giants being a proud franchise, outside of the Giants being a foundation franchise, outside of the Giants being in New York, all those things. What makes the Giants even that much more attractive as an organization, and all jobs are attractive in the NFL because there's not a lot of them. But what makes the Giants that much more attractive is because they have the quarterback in play. You're not in search of that quarterback, which makes the job that much more difficult. It's difficult to win in the National Football League on a couple of occasions. If you don't have an offensive and defensive line, those are two of them. If you don't have a quarterback, that's number three. And quarterback is really at the top of that list. And the Giants have one. So Rappaport can come out on the NFL Network and say, well, and I know there were Giant fans out there. See, I told you. Not necessarily. And that's if the Giants lost yesterday and cemented home the first overall selection in this upcoming spring NFL draft. And as far as the general manager is concerned, we'll see exactly how it plays out, you know, a week from today. Because I think the Giants will make their intentions really make their intentions known with Joe Shane pretty quickly here. And as everyone wants to go out there and basically throw Joe under the bus, and I get it's been a lot of losing. I understand that. I get that, you know, you look at it and the failure of the past 3 years, and you can look at the inability to, you know, take advantage of the drafting of a guy like Evan Neal. Thibodeau has not been exactly what you anticipated coming out of Oregon. Banks, who had the kickoff return for a touchdown, hasn't really developed as a premier lockdown cornerback in the National Football League. But what the Giants and John Mara a year ago made the decision after the Giants season came to an end, and maybe he didn't have an appetite at the time to bring about wholesale changes within the Giant organization to stay the course. And sometimes as an organization, even though there is great public pressure that you make the decision as an organization based on a number of different factors that you decide to stay the course, whether it be with the quarterback and Dart, whether it be with Abdul Carter and everything and the like. Now, am I making that decision? I am not. I'm not a co-owner of the New York Giants. And I understand that there are a lot of Giant fans that are very, very frustrated with how this season has gone. Very frustrated with how it has looked for really the last 13, 14 years for the most part. Since the Giants won their last Super Bowl in 2011. A lot of the missteps that you saw with McAdoo and Shurmur and Joe Judge and obviously Brian Daboll, a lot of the personnel decisions that you've seen over the years and the decisions that have been made when it comes to the NFL draft, where this organization is right now. But I do think when you look at the general manager and you look at Joe Shane, that what Rappaport had to say yesterday, you know, where he is likely to come back, well, it doesn't mean that a defined decision has been made within the organization as well. And the Giants went out yesterday as a team, and you saw them play against an opponent that embarrassed themselves in the Las Vegas Raiders. You saw them play an inspired game and give that team credit. It's been as frustrating a year as you felt as a Giant fan, each and every one of those guys. And didn't you want to see, and I mentioned it earlier in the when I kicked off the program, that the positive coming out of yesterday is this. Didn't you want to see Dart play well? You know, there has been this conversation around Jackson Dart where you've seen this regression. And, you know, now it's opened up the conjecture in terms of the Giants addressing the quarterback position in the NFL draft, which is, you know, silly. But didn't you want to see Dart play well? The quarterback changes everything for an organization. Now you got to go out there and hire the head coach, and you got to find the right head coach, a head coach that's going to be a little heavy-handed, so to speak, maybe a little bit of an old-school mentality that's going to hold this team accountable, that's going to set the tone about what Giant football is really all about on both sides of the ball. What are we going to be? What are we going to do? And you've got weapons defensively when you look at Dexter Lawrence, as long as he's 100% healthy. And he had his first sack of the season yesterday negated by a penalty because Abdul Carter lined up offside. You look at Abdul Carter and what he has shown him, what he has shown himself as a, you know, an outside linebacker, defensive end prospect here the past couple weeks. You look at what Brian Burns has been able to do. I mean, there is talent when you're looking at the defensive side of the ball. And then you've got Darton, Scatterboo, Malik Nabers, obviously Wandell Robinson, you know, is going over 1,000 yards. Has had a breakthrough season. The offensive line, you got to figure who's in, who's out. But you got to bring in a head coach that's going to bring it all together and get this organization back to where it belongs in the complexion of relevancy in the NFL and in the NFC East. And maybe, just maybe, as a team, as an organization, the decision is, well, yes, it's easy to make the change as the general manager, given the results that we have seen, but maybe staying the course is the right call. And we just need to bring in the right head coach. And we'll see if that ends up being the case. I understood why Giant fans were rooting for the team to lose yesterday. I told you that last week. I told you that yesterday morning before that game got going out there in Vegas. I understand it. You want to see all the pain, the misery, the frustration pay off, where at least you have the number one overall pick. It didn't work out that way. But what in the end, what you got was Jackson Dart resembling the quarterback that we have seen that made you excited. And you know what? That's going to make a head coach excited to take this job. And we'll see who streaks free a week from today on Black Monday. And we'll see exactly where the Giants go for their next head coach, which is an all-important hire. As big of a hire the Giants have had as a head coach in quite some time, because you have the quarterback. And make no bones about it, the Giants have their quarterback.
What a gorgeous weather day here in the tri-state.
Rain, rain, rain.
Evan and Tiki here to start the final week of 2025.
A week from today, we will be in the middays.
Tiki and I have you for the next 4.5 hours or so, up until Keith McPherson making a 6:30 stop by tonight on The Fan. And Tiki, we've gotten to the end of week 17 in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And when you and I said yes to coming in on this Monday, I didn't know what the hell we'd be talking about. But boy, did these teams give us plenty to chew on.
Look, I thought we'd be talking about a Giants team that was scrappy out of it, but still playing good football. And having won their third game of the season, I actually felt pretty good yesterday watching this team. Because this is what they should have been doing all, at least the latter half of the season. Instead, they were finding ways to lose games. They were frustrating the fan base. They were seeding doubt in the Jackson Dart future.
Mm-hmm.
People talking about Fernando Mendoza at least being a thought, Evan. And instead, what you see, and I give credit to Mike Kafka and this, and really just the team, they kept playing through all of this.
They did.
Some of these guys have started to get really good, including and especially Abdul Carter, who had a fantastic game. Again, that's just now his third one in a row. It helps when you want to go to work early and you want to stay extra time and you want to perfect your craft as a professional, the good things that come about. And then most importantly, Jackson Dart looked good.
Yeah. And look, we're going to touch on the Jets in just a couple of moments. But just on that note with the Giants, there's going to be a lot of fans and a lot of fan calls. And Tiki, we know we're going to get them.
Yep.
And I know I had my frustrations too with the idea of, well, you blew the number one overall pick. First of all, no, the Giants did not. Still, according to the Power Index, a 10% chance to get the number one pick. I actually think it's very much in play with a Chief team playing the Raiders, but who the hell knows who's going to play for what with Kansas City.
I don't know, but Geno Smith has already been ruled out.
Might be a win for the Raiders next week with Kenny Pickett playing for a job. More on that in a little bit, but you hit on it for a couple reasons. I felt in many ways robbed as a Giants fan yesterday, Tiki, that I sat down and the moment the game kicks off, Kevin Harlan does the whole scene set, and the first or the last words out before the ball gets tipped is, based on all of what happened in the early games, if the Giants lose this game, they will clinch the number one pick. We found out the moment the ball was getting kicked. Now, Tiki, I tell you, as a fan, not take the player off of it,
right,
a fan sit on the couch that gets there 3 hours of their team's football every week. When that's the last thing you hear when the ball gets kicked, what the hell position is that for a fan base to be in?
It's not a good one. So the problem is now all of a sudden, because you're no longer upset about losing.
No.
It doesn't matter how it happens. You're not going to get pissed off if they blow a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. You're not going to get pissed off if Jackson Dart gets sacked 8 times and they just suck and it just is what it is. You're just used to it.
Yes.
And so you accept it. But then 3 series in, I think, it was the third series in is when the Giants go down. Devin Singletary has that 29-yard run, gets down to the 1-yard line. They score a touchdown at 7-0, and you're like, two things. The Giants are going to easily win this game because the Raiders suck.
Yeah, the Bobby Okereke pick was obviously that moment for me.
100%. And then the turn, like the flip in your mindset of, I want number one, two, let's just win this game. It got hard. It's hard for people.
It's
from
hard.
From a fan base, I understand it.
Yeah.
But also, when it was, I don't know, 14-3 maybe, 17-3 right before halftime, in my mind, I started saying, you know what? They suck. Just beat their ass.
Yeah.
Like, hand it to them. Just beat their butt. That's what I wanted to feel after I realized there was no way the Raiders were beating the Giants.
No doubt, Tiki. So this is the way I looked at it and approached it by the end of the game, which is if the Giants were going to win that game versus the Raiders, it had to be that way.
Mm.
If I'm going to win a game as a fan that I'm finding out moments for kick I really should be swayed in the position of losing. It better look that way. It better not be a meandering 16-13 listless win where they hand the ball off 45 times and they don't let dart be dart. You mentioned Abdul Carter. For the third straight week, he has responded since, you know, he was late to meetings and doing whatever else, and he looks like the elite pass rusher they drafted. And on the flip side, Jackson Dart, who I thought had a very important quote to, I'm forgetting her name, the CBS sideline reporter before the game, that he... Melanie Collins had said that Jackson Dart said, you know, he told the coaches, I'm not Joe Flacco. I'm not going to sit... This was a direct quote on the TV broadcast. I'm not going to sit back there and just be this pocket pass. You have to let me be me. And I'm paraphrasing the quote, but he used Joe Flacco as the example. They didn't let him be Joe Flacco yesterday. He looked like the quarterback we saw use his legs.
Yeah.
I know you and I were texting back and forth. Design runs where he was getting small. He was getting out of bounds when he had to get out of bounds. That's the Jackson Dart that the Giants are going to need to lean on, we hope, for the next decade. He's got to play football that way. He's got to stay healthy, but he's got to use his legs. And if the Giants were going to win a game and play themselves out of the first overall pick, at least it happened because, in my mind, the four most important players on the field yesterday were rookies that should be a part of this and learning how to win. And I'm including Darius Alexander, who had another sack there, the third-round pick, and Marcus Bowe at left tackle yesterday, who I thought was fantastic. So if you're going to win, you're going to blow a number one pick, it better be because you're rookies, who are the guys you know definitively are going to be here next year, are a big engine as to why, and they kicked the Raiders' ass as a result of those guys.
Yes. Now, I don't know if I brought it to air on the pregame yesterday, but I'll say it here as well. There were a lot of reports floating around before the game yesterday about Jackson Dart's view, how people viewed him within the organization.
That was an Ian Rappaport report on the pregame show.
Exactly. And essentially what it was saying, and I'm going to paraphrase and whatever, make it mine, but people were saying, well, the Giants have some doubts about Jackson Dart because of the concussion that he sustained in the Chicago game. And despite being in the tent multiple times, as we've said frequently, he's only been diagnosed with one concussion. So I get it. He takes hits. Quarterbacks to take hits, they get put in a tent. He got diagnosed with one concussion in 2025 this season so far. And as a result, these reports were saying the Giants are going to start thinking about Fernando Mendoza. The mantra that Evan has been talking about regarding whoever the new head coach comes in, what if he wants to consider Fernando Mendoza? You have to at least consider it. It's nonsense. And the reason I brought it up on the pregame show is because we all remember two off seasons ago when all the reporting around the quarterbacks that were coming out were, you know, J.J. McCarthy. The Giants really love J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy has been in here, you know, three times already. He's telling people the Giants are drafting him. And what did I say? I said, this is a giant smokescreen.
Yeah.
This is nonsense. I can promise you they do not want J.J. McCarthy. And obviously they didn't take J.J. McCarthy. And you know what happened? The Giants kind of waited and got what they wanted a year later at quarterback. This is the same thing. This is Giant personnel or whoever it is manipulating media to get a narrative out there that makes their pick, whether it's one or two, really interesting.
Yes.
Because now people are going to start saying, oh, they might move on from Jackson Dart. If we want our quarterback, we got to go trade with the New York Giants.
Exactly.
That's all that is. It's way too early, by the way. And to me, it's annoyingly early.
Oh,
but
dude,
it's way too early speculation about moving on from a really good quarterback who, by the way, I mean, if he had missed some games with concussion or he had started at the start of the season, he'd be the rookie of the year.
Right. And honestly, right now, Tyler Shuck has emerged as the favorite.
Yes.
Jackson Dart's still having a better year than Tyler Shuck. He's almost being punished because of missing those games. I'm with you. It's a complete smokescreen, and we're going to get a million more smokescreens, and it's what's going to make us talking about the draft nauseating.
Yes.
But ultimately, I will get into it in about 22 minutes, why that was not the worst case. I've talked myself off the ledge and why that's fine.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.